see another scary movie.
I'm Wolfman's wife.
Who's a ghost?
Yes. Welcome to I Hate It But I Love It. I'm Jocelyn Getty.
I am Kat Angus, and this is the podcast about all the pop culture you love and hate simultaneously. We are continuing Spooky Scary Month with Urban Legend.
Yes, a movie that clearly saw the movie Scream's success and thought, what if I just try to do that, but worse?
But worse, with a plot that makes even less sense.
Oh, absolutely. So please tell me your feelings about Urban Legend.
There are, I do love just sort of a fun little slasher that doesn't really need to make a ton of sense. Like, sometimes you just want to see people scream and run around and get stabbed. and there's like two moments in this movie where it feels self-aware. That's clearly was a punch-up later on. But it's fun. It's funny. And I remember seeing this in the theater as a kid, and because of those moments, thinking this movie was better than it was.
Uh-huh.
Watching it now, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
Not a lick.
This killer's motivation is crazy. It's bonkers. And most of the people in this movie didn't need to be killed according to the motivation of the killer.
Yes.
And also, like, a lot of the murders really rely on the victims doing very specific actions. And I can only imagine the killer just like waiting very patiently and just being like, oh, why aren't they going to the woods?
I hope this happens.
That said, when the killer is revealed, that performance gets very fun. And I think that it's pretty decent, even if it's silly. And then also Jared Leto's there, and it's whatever. How about you, Jocelyn?
I mean, I would not be surprised if someone were to tell me that this movie was written by literally doing a find and replace with the Scream script, mm-hmm. and just replacing, you know, various words with urban legend. Like,
yeah.
It really feels like the thing is like, oh my God, we're going to be killed because the urban legend mm-hmm. is happening. And yep. if the urban legend plays out, then urban legend will David Arquette. Sorry, we left that one in. But it's literally like a one-to-one relationship. Like, with Alicia Vitt, you have, like, the woman with, like, a traumatic past. You have, like, the suspicious boyfriend type in Jared yep. Leto. You have, like, the kooky cop character.
Yep.
Instead of being named Sydney, she tries to take her kidney. Like, it's all there. Really just, you know, complete. And yep. I will say, it's like, it's too clever by half while also not being clever
right.
at all.
Yeah.
Like, you can spoil this movie for yourself if you know Latin, because the motto of the university is, spoiler alert, the best friend did it.
Really?
Yeah. But, and then it's filled of, like, the movie is just filled with all of these self-aware jokes and mm-hmm. in-jokes and moments. Like, it's constantly, like, winking as if to be like, we're smarter than this, don't worry. And you're like, okay, well, are you still going to do it, though? And they're like,
no,
yes.
No.
We are actually still going to do this movie. Yes, oh. Yes. We don't have a different one. We have to do this movie.
There's money to be made.
Oh, God. But I do love it because it was filmed on U of T campus, my alma mater. Mm-hmm. I can recognize every single building. I know yeah. exactly where every single one was. A lot of it was at Vic, which was my college, Victoria College. I love that Pacey was at University of Toronto for a long stretch of time. I didn't get to see him, but that's neither here nor there.
Because you were like 14.
Should have come for me.
Yes, the god of Fuckville Island was in at your university.
And I love that it's filled with... filled? It has.
It has.
Two Canadian character actors. The amazing John Neville yeah. and our friend Julian Richings.
Yes.
Our friend only because we've talked about him before.
Yeah, on the Cube episode.
Yes, indeed.
If you have not seen Urban Legend, should you see Urban Legend?
What do you think?
You don't have to.
Yeah, it's skippable.
It's fun. Like, if you're into this kind of movie, sure, but, like, you don't have to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is just not really much of anything. Like, it's kind of fun in the way that you could watch it and be like, that doesn't make sense. That's stupid. if you want to feel smarter than a movie, watch Urban Legend.
I would also say, though, if you want to feel smarter than a movie, this is a pretty low bar to clear.
I'm just saying, sometimes you need a win.
Sometimes you need a win. I would also say, if you want to watch a, like, horror films of the late 90s/early aughts. This is like, if you wanted to do a retrospective for yourself that's like, Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, this, like, yeah. It'd be fun to kind of fit into that, mm-hmm. just to be like, right, I can see how, like, it really worked over here when this idea was new and got worse and worse every time someone tried to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Ye gods.
It's like a game of horror telephone. Like, by the time you get to the end, you're like, what is this?
What's happened?
It's like a nursery rhyme killer. God.
It doesn't work. It's confusing. We will get into all of this and so much more, but first we want to thank our sponsor, Virtual Game Night.
Virtual Game Night. Now, I mean, hopefully y'all can have your holiday gatherings in person, if not this year, but next year. But maybe you still need to do some on Zoom. And honestly, sometimes when you do family things on Zoom, it's a lot of people like talking over each other and just like not really being able to enjoy the actual get together because of just video chats. But Virtual Game Night is a way to add some really fun structure to it so that you all get to spend time together, but also do a fun thing together.
Yes, yes, that is exactly right. All of my Zoom hangouts with family have unfortunately had the feeling of being interviewed by them, slowly and quietly being like, hi, Grandma. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Whereas Virtual Game Night is a fully interactive game show experience that anyone can play, and it's all done over Zoom.
Mm-hmm. And also, right now, it's your last chance to play in 2021. They are only taking bookings through December 23rd, 2021, so get going. But like Jocelyn said, it's an online game show. It's all very professionally done. There's different types of categories. You can clear your card of world-famous movie quotes and song lyrics in a game called Lingo Bingo. You can find the odd one out in zero-context groups of celebrities, in imposter syndrome. They can do custom things, so like if you give them a bunch of trivia about your family, they'll make questions about that. And it's all hosted by comedian Ollie Robinson, who's so professional. We've played Virtual Game Night as a podcast network before. Ollie was lovely, so well prepared. Every question was great. He's so funny. He's generous. He really walks you through the whole thing. You don't have, like, it's real trivia of like summer challenging, but you're not going to feel left behind by any of it.
Yes, 100%. It's a very inclusive feeling, and it would be genuinely perfect for people of all ages.
Yes.
Like, he's so charming, and it's so seamlessly handled that you come out of it feeling like, good for me, even though, like, I got every single question wrong. I was like, am I a genius? I might be.
And also, because of the software that they use, like, you don't have to, like, keep track of your score on pencil and pad. Like, it keeps track of your score as it goes along, and you can see where you rank among all of your friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fun. Virtual Game Night has done over 250 events. They hosted company happy hours, conferences, corporate parties, but like family reunions, birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, that kind of thing. They've done it for companies like Adobe, Ford, Microsoft, Google. They've even done things for students and alumni at Harvard, Yale, and MIT. So like all manner of people are enjoying Virtual Game Night, and we think everybody should play.
Absolutely. So visit virtualgamenight.live/hatelove and use the code HATELOVE100 to take $100 USD off the price of any game. Remember, this is very important. The games must end December 23rd, 2021. So you have a task, and it is to join the 17,000 other players who are playing Virtual Game Night and using it to liven up their virtual events. So one more time, that's virtualgamenight.live/hatelove. And do not forget to enter the code HATELOVE100 to receive a $100 credit towards the price of any Game Night package.
Thank you so much, Virtual Game Night, for your support.
Thank you.
And now, Urban Legend. This is the story of a serial killer who decides to kill a bunch of university students, according to urban legends.
Just would take so much work.
So much work. So, so much. And look, I get it. Urban legends are scary, and making a movie with them is good, is a good idea. yeah. But to be like, and this person is just going to wait until the situation is perfect.
Yeah, yeah. This person, I mean, this doesn't happen, but like it does sort of have the feeling of like, this person found a way to insert a pocket full of spiders into someone's cheek and then waited until the spiders hatched out and then killed them.
And then killed them.
Like the amount of planning it would take to do that in the first place and then magically be there in time for the spiders to hatch is impossible.
It's impossible, yes. So, like, it's spoiled. The best friend, Rebecca Gayheart, is the killer. The background of this, I was like, oh, so this main character, not her, but Alicia Vitz, character. She sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, she totally sucks. Yeah,
like, I don't support murder, but I get where Rebecca Gayheart's coming from.
I mean, I get why she's mad.
So, but what we find out eventually is that Alicia Witt and, is it Natasha Wagner?
Yes. Yes.
Robert Wagner's daughter, when they were in high school, Alicia Witt was in the passenger seat while the friend was driving, and they did the thing where if somebody flashes their high beams at you, you turn the car around and chase them down, which is awful.
Yeah.
And then that person crashed and died. And then that guy was Rebecca Gayheart's boyfriend, so she transfers to this university to kill Alicia Witt. The friend who was driving dies in the first scene, and they're like, there's a murderer in the backseat thing. And I'm like, why wouldn't you save this girl for last? She's the one who killed your boyfriend.
That's true.
But the reason they do it is because you can't root for a main character who actively killed somebody. And so the main character has to be like the, like, she didn't kill him, but she was there kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right, but why are you so focused on the girl in the passenger seat?
Yes, it's very, very true. It is completely true. And you're also right in saying that Alicia Witt kind of sucks. And in order to keep the secret of, like, what she did, for, you know, until kind of midway through the movie, everyone has to respond to her and interact with her in a way that doesn't relate to the gravity of what she's done. Like, she has a call with her mom, who has seen that her best friend, her former best friend, has died. And her mom is like, did you see that? That's so sad. Gosh, but, like, I don't know. I feel like if I were a parent, I would be kind of like, yeah, remember that bad person I didn't let you see anymore because she got you involved in a horrible accident?
She's been murdered. Somebody decapitated her with an axe.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh. Well, I don't know.
So embarrassing for that family.
Yes, exactly. Like, it's so bizarre that she wouldn't acknowledge the extent of their relationship, that she wouldn't have a problem with their relationship, that it wouldn't be more, like, conflicted in any way.
Yeah, you'd think her relationship with her mother would be a lot more, like, contentious. But instead, it's just like, oh, well, you know, kids, sometimes they stay home, sometimes they go out and murder a man.
Now, what I will also say, too, is that this movie is really contingent on you being extremely familiar with urban legends.
Okay.
In a way that I wonder if this movie would make sense to younger people, even. Because I feel like, you know, you hear sort of, like, kind of ghost stories around kind of the fire at camp and whatnot. And, like, I don't know where else you find urban legends these days.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they just tell them. Kids like scaring each other. They tell scary stories.
Does he still exist? Someone let us know.
Yeah, hey, Gen Z listeners, do you know about urban legends?
Do you know urban legends?
I think they're called creepypasta now.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Everything has a stupid name, and now it's something else. Because I was thinking, like, if you don't understand that the, like, inciting incident of this entire film, by which I mean, like, the crash that these two girls did together, is an urban legend, nothing else tracks.
And to be fair, I've never heard of this urban legend outside of this movie.
I've also never heard of that. That's exactly it.
Yeah, because they're, like, the urban legend is apparently, like, gangs. Like, as an initiation for a gang, you have to drive without your headlights on, and if somebody flashes their high beams at you to be like, hey, your lights aren't on, then you have to chase them down and kill them. and that, yeah, outside of this movie, that's not one I ever heard.
It's so funny because it's like the structure of other horror movies which actually enact an urban legend in a full realized way of, like, ooh, if you do X after dark, then, like, the boogeyman will come and get you, and we get to see this boogeyman character, like, this urban legend that the character thought wasn't real, come true. Whereas this is like, have you ever heard of urban legends? Well, so have I. And I'm going to show you some of them. Pretty spooky, don't you think?
So Rebecca Gayheart's plan is incredibly convoluted. Like, so Pacey Witter is there. Now, has bleach blonde hair. His character sucks. Sooks. Yeah, like he's very manipulative and is just trying to sleep with Alicia Vitt's character. It's gross.
I remember seeing this movie in theaters, and that was the point I checked out. And it was specifically because I was like, he'd never do that. And the girls I was with were like, it's not Pacey. And I was like, I don't care.
I wonder if for this and for Cruel Intentions, like the point of the bleach blonde hair was so that was like the WB being like, you have to be made clear you are not Pacey.
Oh,
you are not Pacey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do not fuck with our product. We're fucking it up enough as it is. Good Lord.
But like, so he gets murdered because he and Alicia Vitt, he's like, why don't we go talk? And they like, he's like, let's drive to the woods. And then they talk, he hits on her, whatever. She's like, fuck off. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to get out of the car by myself. And then he goes out and then the killer gets him and like hangs him on top of the car so that his feet are like scratching against it. And I'm like, she had to wait for him to offer to drive Alicia Vitt to the woods, then had to hope he was gonna get out of the car by himself. It would have been months, if not never happening.
Months, if not years of planning have gone into this. It's like the Brooklyn Nine-Nine heists, but not hilarious. What I thought about it, too, rewatching it, was like when he was killed because Alicia Vitt like starts driving the car and that's what kind of yanks him up into the tree. I was like, ah, she's trying to frame her for murder. But that's not it.
That's not it. At no point is Alicia Vitt even suspected of any of this, even though she's involved in this urban legend crime that happened.
Yeah, she's just doing this to fuck with the person who was in the car when her boyfriend was killed. When there's a much clearer route, it's like, you didn't get in trouble for that, and now you are going to get in trouble for this urban legend.
You'd think, but no.
She's like, yeah.
Like, no, I'm just going to scare you a bit.
Look at that.
And like, at the end, when like, Alicia Vitt thinks Rebecca Gayheart has been murdered, and so she runs back to campus, and like a good 200 feet away she hears a scream from a building. She hears Rebecca Gayheart screaming from a building. I'm like, so Rebecca Gayheart went into this building and just had to hope Alicia Vitt came by, and then hoped that if she screamed, Alicia Vitt would come in.
Yeah.
And then she also by herself set up the dead bodies of every single person she murdered in a room. It's a lot.
Where have they been all this time? Those mysteriously not decrepit dead bodies.
And like, what building is this on campus?
It's very much like the village. It's like the shack we do not go into. The building we don't have any classes in.
Yeah, that's the place where we put our dead bodies.
The place we put all our dead bodies. Yeah, that's a perfect place to put all my dead bodies, of which I have several.
I'm just going to hang Pacey in the closet and then put these people there. And then I'll just fluff up my curly hair looking real good. Her hair, when she turns like quote unquote crazy at the end, looks fantastic.
Her hair does look amazing. Yeah. I love her hair this entire time. The first thing I saw when watching this movie and looking it up for this episode was a grim bit of trivia where someone literally wrote like, it's ironic that Rebecca Gayheart played someone who's driven mad by like a car accident when she would later go on to do one to somebody.
She was found guilty of vehicular manslaughter.
That's right.
Yeah, that's why we have not seen Rebecca Gayheart in a while.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah,
it sucks. It's sad.
It's very sad. It's an awful thing that happened.
Yeah, no kidding.
I will say, it's like, she is clearly very excited to let down her hair, as it were, and get to do this like, ooh, now I'm crazy performance. But
and I feel like it could be explained away, like, the reason she kills all these people that aren't involved in the original crime is just because she's lost it. But it still feels like there was no reason for her to kill any of these people. They were just around.
And it's so specific and kind of tempered as an approach for like the bad force in this movie that it feels very strange.
Yeah,
weirdly it feels, I don't know, just kind of like empty and pointless the entire thing. And like she would feel like more of a force if she was just going after everybody.
Yeah,
like you know, just really ravaging through this campus. But instead, she's just like, ah. Three people. Got them.
Suck it.
And a dog. I will say, what the fuck did that dog do?
I know, that poor dog. Yeah, warning everybody, a dog dies.
Yeah, in a terrible way.
In a terrible way.
It's microwaved. It's horrible.
Okay, so who does she kill? So she kills Pacey. She kills the girl in the beginning. She kills the dean?
She kills the dean. She kills Michael Rosenbaum.
Oh, yeah. Rosenbaum.
Dog.
Dog. I think that's it. Oh, and she kills Tara Reid.
And kills Tara Reid.
What was the urban legend for Tara Reid?
That she's like screaming for help over the radio and no one came to help. Like, again, it's not very well known, so much so that a guy at the party is like, hey, you ever heard the urban legend about a DJ who was screaming for help and then nobody came to help? Well, goodbye. Okay, thank you.
All right. So the tertiary characters in this are wild to me. So, okay, there's Jared Leto, who works for the student newspaper and needs a beeper for it.
He is... I hate him. I hate him in everything. I firmly and solidly believe that Jared Leto is cut from most movies that he's in because he's such a bastard to work with. Like, it makes me laugh so hard to have read all of these articles of like, whoa, Jared Leto like cut his own corneas open with sand to play a blind person in this. How much is the movie is he in? 2 minutes. Yep. The trailer, they cut him out of the movie. So to see him here not doing any of that but still playing a very self-important character who's like, oh, I gotta go scoop for the school newspaper. It was very funny to me.
As someone who worked on the student newspaper, like, don't get me wrong, I definitely thought it was of much higher importance than it actually was, but at no point did anything happen that required a beeper, even for, and I didn't do news, but any of the news people, like, there was no beeper, there was no big scoop. Like, maybe once a year, like, the editor-in-chief would write a big, important story, but it was like... It was not how this is this is done in this movie.
Not at all. And can you imagine what kind of trouble you would get in if you tried to like talk about a murder in the school paper?
He publishes about a murder, like, and that his editor would have called him on this. Absolutely. It's not like he is the whole paper. Is it just this one guy making the paper by himself?
Yeah, it's his zine.
My zine about a girl who died not even at this school.
The people need the truth. What's it called? Surf Boy 69?
Why? Oh boy.
Yeah, it's so funny. The dean played by John Neville keeps, you know, getting shamed by the characters when he's like, stop talking about this stuff in the newspaper. We are going to pick up all of these newspapers and throw them out because we don't want you talking about this kind of stuff. And Jared Leto's like, hey man, shut up man, like the people need this. But he is correct to do that.
It has nothing to do with the school.
Absolutely.
She doesn't live here.
She doesn't hear. Terrifying to people. And like, it's not a big enough piece of news. Like, it's one thing if the student newspaper wanted to do a retrospective on a major world issue.
Yeah.
But this is like breaking 2 towns from here.
A girl died.
A girl died. What? Why?
Yeah. It's a real Mean Girls thing. She doesn't even go here. Then we also have Tara Reid playing like the sex show radio host. Talking about sex in a way that nobody ever has and ever will. And doing things of like licking the microphone, making fun of her listeners for not having, quote unquote, the correct sexual knowledge when, hey, guess what you should be here for? Like, you know how when you call in about a sensitive subject and you want to be anonymous because you're embarrassed? You know what you want? You want to be made fun of for it.
Oh, absolutely. That's what feels right. Let me say, I loved her performance. I loved it. There is the extraordinary camp value of watching Tara Reid, a terrible actress, walk around a room I know to be just like a small classroom with no radio equipment at all, like not knowing anything about what to do, like what a radio host is,
yep.
Maybe what a radio is.
I feel like at one point she's just like walking around nowhere near the microphone,
yes!
And still talking.
That's my favorite part. And like, it feels like they were just like, we can't have her in front of the mic because if she's not good enough to be in front of the camera, we gotta keep her moving. So she has these strange long scenes of being like, hey, you're listening sex radio, FM, AM. Caller, who's calling? And then someone's like, hi, should I, like, I swallow cum, should I barf? And she's like, ew, first of all, comes out. And then that's when, yeah. And it's like, you just know it was like 100 takes. It was the best she could do. And they were like, oh my God. You know what? It's fine. We're just going to stitch together a performance with what we have somehow.
And anybody who has worked at a university or college radio knows, like, I love the portrayal of movies when they're like, I work at the college radio station and I'm the cool one. It's like, you're not. I've worked at a college radio station. I'm fully aware of, like, we were not cool people. We worked at a radio station that hardly anybody listened to.
Well, this is my favorite thing about universities. You're like, ugh. Finally, high school's behind me, and now here I am, the coolest girl on campus and head of the drama society.
Yeah,
for them to be pretending that like Tara Reid is like the most popular person any of these kids will ever meet.
Yeah,
when she has this terrible sex show on,
and it's apparently on probably on like Saturday nights at midnight. So you never get to hang out with anybody.
Yeah,
you listen to a radio show that I guarantee nobody listens to because they're getting drunk and listening to music or watching I don't know, Pizza Cats at 1 in the morning.
Absolutely. It's the year 2003. We're all watching Strong Bad emails.
Yeah, exactly.
No one cares about what's happening here.
Have you seen the one with the light switch rave?
Oh, man, it's so good. The system is down. Let's flick on the radio. Nope, there's Tara Reid. Flick that immediately off.
And so then you also get, Michael Rosenbaum with hair, which I'm not used to. And he's just sort of like the jerk, but not as jerky as Pacey, I guess.
Yeah. It really, like, again, in kind of that sense of like, okay, so we're going to look at the characters from Scream and we're basically going to just repeat them here. The characters, a little bit, I felt like they were like, well, I guess we got to mix it up. So one of them is a sex DJ instead of being a journalist like Courtney Cox. Great. And then this one is mean. And then this one is meaner. We're done. That's all.
So let's take a break to thank our sponsor for this episode, Best Fiends. I love a good casual mobile game that I can play for a little bit of time, for a lot of time, while I have something else playing in the background because I need my brain to be occupied on all levels or else I'm very uncomfortable. And Best Fiends is a very good mobile game that, like I said, you can just play it for a few minutes. If you get into it, you can keep playing it. They add new levels all the time. You collect these cute little guys who help you pass future levels. My favorite is, I've said it before, I love a little rabbit. He's a rabbit, but with an L. He's a little purple guy. I love him. It's like, there's an actual storyline. You can actually, like, see the story develop as you play, which I really like.
Indeed. I feel like you're at level, like, what, 10 billion?
Last time I checked, it was at, like, 1,500, I think.
Amazing. And there are always new challenges being added all the time. So you should download Best Fiends free today on the App Store or Google Play. That is Friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Best Fiends. And we'll get back to Urban Legend in just a minute, but shout out to our other sponsor, Masterclass. We love Masterclass. It is a great way to learn from the world's best minds anywhere, at any time, at your own pace. You can learn about like storytelling, you can learn about cooking, you can learn about space, you can learn about all kinds of things from actual real experts who you've heard of and admire.
Absolutely. There's over 100 classes from a range of world-class instructors. And so the thing that you've always wanted to learn how to do, be it learn how to act from Helen Mirren, mm-hmm. learn how to make scrambled eggs. It's all
also from Helen Mirren. Yeah. No,
Helen Mirren, what a champion!
No, it's from an actual famous cook.
It is, yes.
I took the one about space from Chris Hadfield, and even though I'm terrified of space and will never go there, it was fascinating. He provides so much information about what it takes to be an astronaut that you wouldn't even think of, and like. It's still interesting, even though I know I'm never going to do it. I'm just like, tell me more about like what you have to do. And he's just like, we had to work in the ER because if you're an astronaut, you have to be able to fix injuries. And I was like, right. Oh, man.
Spooky.
That's a lot.
Cool.
It's very cool.
Yes. And what we also love is that it isn't necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can actually engage with it in these short, digestible chunks so that if you are like, oh, I'm on my lunch break or I have like a couple of minutes before I have to go pick up the kids or like I need to, you know, just do something quick before I start my workday, you can just pop in, watch a quick thing, and then be on your way feeling enriched.
Mm-hmm. We highly recommend Masterclass. We really like it. So get unlimited access to every Masterclass. And as an iHiBiLay listener, you will get 15% off an annual membership. Go to masterclass.com/love. That's masterclass.com/love for 15% off Masterclass. Thank you so much, Masterclass, for your support.
Thank you. And now back to urban legend.
The killing of Michael Rosenbaum is so weird to me.
Oh.
Because it's the main one that feels like that is a cheat.
Yes. Yeah, it's totally a cheat.
Because they do the whole, like, Pop Rocks plus soda thing. But then she just, like, pours bleach down his throat and, like, to kill him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, then you just do the bleach. Like, is anybody, one, nobody saw this. Is anybody even, like, they would just be like, oh, someone poured bleach in his stomach. They're not going to be like, oh, it was the Pop Rocks thing.
Well, this is the Pop Rocks
thing. It really feels like this is the point where she's like, I'm in a movie and the audience can see me doing this.
That, absolutely. Because I might be misremembering, but I don't even think Alicia Vitt knows that happened.
Except, you're like, right. Nobody knows. Yeah.
Nobody knows.
I think she sees his body at the end, but there's no way to tell how he died.
Yeah, it's not like there's a Pop Rocks thing stapled to his sweater. Oh, yeah, and same with the dog in the microwave. Why do that? There's no point in doing that. The dog did nothing to you.
This is also the scene that is the biggest ripoff of Scream, where he's on the phone with the killer.
Yes, very much so.
And then he's like taunting them of just like, oh, I know what stupid urban legend you're talking about. And then it's like, no, and then it's like, no, it's, I'm not, instead of like tricking him with a trick question about who's the killer in Friday the 13th, it's like, fools you, it was a different one, where a different urban legend where I killed your dog.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, 100%. Listen here, stand in for Skeet Ulrich. Why don't you, urban legend, and run down the stairs and urban legend with stand in for Rose McGowan. Wish we'd taken those out.
You know, you have to like find and replace. You got to actually replace. Oh, what?
Oh, we'll fill this in later.
Whatever.
I just want to know what I have to fix. I'll get around to it. I'm very tired.
Oh, sorry. We missed one of the bodies, which is Alicia Vitt's roommate.
Yes.
The goth roommate. Right. So, you know, if she's goth, gotta die. If she's goth, must be mentally ill. A lot of leaps taken here that I don't appreciate. Goth, terrible person. I don't like the coding they do of this goth person.
It is wild that this goth is treated so badly. We are introduced to her by Alicia Vitt just wanting to come into her room.
Yeah.
And then this goth is fully having like very loud like sex facing the door basically and is like, fuck you, you fucking bitch, get away from here. And Alicia Vitt has to be like, oh, university. And sort of like put on her disc man and face the wall.
We're like, if that had been me, I'd be like, oh, I guess I have to go elsewhere. I wouldn't be like, I guess I'll turn off the lights and put on headphones.
I can see you're in the middle of something. I'll just look this way.
Yeah.
It's rude. And you're right. There's something quite gross about the joke of like the joke the movie is telling, I should clarify, that Alicia Vitt does not understand that her roommate is being murdered because the music she listens to is so aggressive.
And like, oh, well, you were always having sex, so clearly that's your fault that you died, kind of thing. Like, what? How was I supposed to know? Because you're like this.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. Yeah.
It's also weird that this goth would not be like, I'm being murdered.
Yeah.
I'm being murdered right now. You help me, you bitch.
I also laugh very hard because the scary thing is like she's chatting with guys online and inviting them over. And so the killer's like chatting to her. And then she's like, oh, I'll go get ready. Tell what room are you in? And she goes and like does her makeup and then comes back. And the thing says like, yours? This is 2000. So Rebecca Gayhart has to be doing this from a full like desktop computer.
Absolutely.
That is hooked into an Ethernet. So she has to be either next door and sneaking in or like something like that. This is not a thing where she could just hide in the closet and text the thing.
100%. You also have to understand if you are not from the same generation as we are, that at least as far as I am aware, none of our kind of primitive forms of like instant messaging could like have their noises silenced all that easily.
Yeah.
So if you're messaging someone on like an AOL instant messenger or an ICQ, you're going to hear it like, oh,
over and over and over.
And then you're going to hear it from the room next to you and be like, huh.
Is that?
You're also going to see a sweaty ass person kind of schluffing down the hallway in a full parka because this movie was intended to be shot in winter. And then they moved the time period and we're like, we don't have a cost.
Still going to be a parka.
So a sweaty Rebecca Gayheart is constantly showing up being like, hey guys. Just rivulets of sweat all over.
Yeah, like it's supposed to be scary when like Alicia Vitt discovers parkas that other people own, which would make way more sense if it was winter, if they were like, yeah, I own a parka. It's Toronto in December, in January.
It's but fine
instead,
to own a parka.
But instead, yeah, if it's summer, which it seems to be, it is weird that all these people have that parka.
That's true. It's true. They shouldn't have the exact same parka, you would think.
I mean, in Canada, we really just have the one that we all share. We got to pass it around. It's my turn with the parka.
What a grim picture you're painting. I don't know if I stand for it.
Sounds like someone didn't get the parka.
I didn't, and I'm PO'd. I'm deeply PO'd.
But yes, so it's basically like Alicia Vitt doesn't realize that instead of having sex, her roommate is being murdered. Which again, like, so this murder relies on the roommate inviting somebody over and Rebecca Gayheart knowing that this, like, being the person she invites and then coming in and killing her. But also knowing that Alicia Vitt is going to be there very soon and is not going to turn on the light, is just going to think that it's just sex and get in bed and go to sleep.
Yeah.
And then she paints in the blood, like, aren't you glad you didn't turn on the light? And I'm like, man, there's a lot here.
There's so much
and none of it makes sense.
It's so convoluted. It's like, I really get the sense that, like, this idea was pitched and they were like, oh my God, that's so fun. They were like, yeah, we really came up with a fun idea and then sat down to write it. We're like, oh boy, it's a fun idea.
Yep.
But sometimes a fun idea does not make for a good story. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like moments like this where you're like, how did it happen that way? Why would it happen that way? And what is the consequence of this happening that way? And if it's no consequence, then why all of the above again?
Because it does seem like another situation where it seems like she's framing Alicia Vitt. But they're immediately like, man, that sucks that your roommate was murdered.
Oh, man.
And actually, she probably did it to herself. What?
How?
What are you talking about?
It's so confusing that she's not on the hook for any of it.
And that anybody presents like this. This girl probably died by suicide. No, she, what?
Why would she?
For one thing, she was strangled to death. And so you would be able to tell that she didn't do that.
We talk about Final Destination as our Patreon movie, and not to get too much into that, but just briefly, it's hilarious to me that the entire conceit of Final Destination is the FBI believing that a child is responsible for a plane blowing up. And here, a girl sleeps in the same room in which her roommate is murdered, and they're like, couldn't have been you.
Couldn't have been you.
She's a goth.
And Rebecca Gayheart, you don't like Alicia Vitt. You should love the roommate who hates her. You guys should be friends.
Yes, I don't understand.
She's very committed to this bit. She's like, you seem cool, but I also gotta do this urban legend. I can't just kill you.
I think when you're that deep into a bit, you're just like, I gotta see it through.
Yeah.
I bought so much stuff.
If I don't do an urban legend, they're not even gonna know that I did it.
Basically, what Rebecca Gayheart's approach to being a serial killer is anyone's experience doing a Pinterest craft, where you like look at something, you're like, that looks easy, that looks fun. Oh man, that's gonna be, it's like an amazing thing to show off. And then like, you know, an hour later, you're sitting there gluing crayons to a canvas so that you can turn on your hairdryer so that the crayons will melt down like a rainbow. And you're like, why did I think that this was going to look good? It looks like shit. I spent so much money on this fucking craft. I was so drunk. Why don't I ever remember that I'm drunk when I'm looking at Pinterest? Oh my God.
Side note, I don't understand how Pinterest works.
Here's the thing. Is that...
Is it because like... It's links, but also photos?
Yeah. It's just like a poster board.
I don't know. I find it so confusing. I just want to look at the photos. Don't give me links for things.
Yeah, that's totally fair. They should just do something that's called photo board.
I guess that's just Instagram.
No, because this is like a bulletin board. Okay. Like, if you want to plan an event, yeah. For example.
Yeah, no, like, if I'm looking for, like, photo inspiration, I don't care about your link of, like, 10 products to farmhouse your butt. I just want to see the photos of the farmhouse butt.
Step one, put in a sliding door. Where? Well, you're not going to like this. But, like, sometimes it is handy because it's, like, a good link to a rug you might want.
All right, sure. So. Yeah, I don't know. I find it, I'm slowly sort of getting it, but I also don't get it.
Well, here's the thing is that, like, it's really, I mean, if all you want is pictures, why not just, like, look around the internet and then copy and paste pictures into, like, a PowerPoint? Yeah. That's what I do.
Yeah, I might.
And then you can see how things look together. Yeah. As opposed to, like, yeah, going on. I mean, especially, oh, man, this is such a sidebar, but, like, Pinterest is the worst for, like, event stuff or wedding planning stuff. Mm. Because it's all, like, you should have a sand ceremony at your wedding. And you're like, do people do this? And they're like, oh, everybody does this. And they're like, you should have a glass bead ceremony at your wedding. You're like, do people do this? And it's like, everybody's doing it. And you're like, if this is a thing that is done, I don't know what it relates to. You're just being told to do so many things without context for what they mean or why.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it just feels like, yeah, a million ideas are being thrown at you. Almost like people are yelling at you out of a passing car, being like, sand ceremony. And you're like, wait, what is that, though? What is that? Do I need to do that? Who needs to do that? What is it? Your classmates. What? Come back. Anyway,
urban legend.
Final urban legend.
So, yeah, we get the whole, like, fake out of, like, is Jared Leto the killer? And he's not, because he's just a annoying boy that Alicia Vitt kissed.
Yes.
Now, does Rebecca Garrett actually have a crush on him? Or is this part of her cover story?
Great question.
It feels like they were like, oh, before we reveal her as the killer, we need something for that character to do. And so they're like, her thing is that she has a crush on Jared Leto. And they're like, great, good. And then they're like, and then Alicia Vitt will kiss him and she'll be upset, but then she'll be cool with it. Cool. And then she'll be revealed as the killer. And that crush might have been fake the whole time. Why was it there? I realize grief is a complicated thing and you can still have feelings for somebody else while you are grieving and plotting a very convoluted series of murders.
Absolutely.
But it's just like, it feels like you have other things going on rather than like, how are you going to date Jared Leto while you had this whole big project going on is what I think.
Well, I think that makes sense. I would also submit that it's like a really good example of losing the plot mid-craft. Just like, which is also a thing that's happened to me with any Pinterest thing, where you're like, you're halfway through it, you're so pissed, and then you see something on TV and you're like, I'm just going to do this for a while. God, my head hurts. And then like it ends and you're like, all right, back to it. No! Oh, why did I start gluing pennies to the ground? Oh, Pinterest told me to glue pennies to the ground. Oh, it smells like shit in here. So I feel like it's just her being like, oh, God, I'm so tired. This is so hard.
This is so much work. I really should have just killed those two girls.
Okay, yeah, I see her all the time. Why didn't I just kill her right away?
Also, I really should have explained my whole thing to the first girl I killed because she's the most guilty and she has no idea why this happened.
That's true.
Alicia Vitt, she gets to be like, you suck and here's why.
This is why I did it.
Whereas first girl is just like, oh, I'm scared and somebody decapitated me and now I'm dead.
You're right.
This is a terrible revenge.
It is a terrible revenge. It's a terrible revenge. This is what happens when you think too hard about your revenge. You got too many ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to just streamline and go with the best one.
I do really laugh when Jared Leto like comes out of hiding doing like the slow clap of like wow, like just pretending that he's on her side.
Oh my God.
He's like, wow, this is inspired. And I'm like, call the police.
Don't be a shit right now. Call the police.
He's like, what a scoop.
I also like that scene so much because for some reason, Rebecca Gayheart goes with it. Yeah. As opposed to being like, you're not on my side. Yeah. And you never have
shoot
been.
Him immediately. You have the gun.
Oh, just what shoot would I him. Have given for an Indiana Jones style like him like, Well. Looks like, oh, God, my penis. Oh, Lord. What a scoop. Breaking news. Boy loses Beppis. Oh, please get Surf Boy 69, issue number 2.
Oh, I love that. That first issue was A Girl Two Towns Away is Dead.
That's the first issue.
This issue 2 is My Penis Got Shut Up.
Oh, what a scoop. Yeah, I think when he's talking about his editor, it's like with Tommy Wiseau, where like Tommy Wiseau was like, oh, just talk to my assistant. And then like people would call his assistant. The assistant would be like, hello. They're like, Tommy. He'd be like, no.
It's Timmy.
Yes, Timmy. So yeah, it's just him being like, give me a story, kid. Hangs up.
I then also hate like the big jump scare where they're like, okay, we guess we're now driving in our car, and like Jared Leto goes like, so if it's an urban legend, like when does the killer come back for one last scare? It's a very Scream thing.
Very Scream.
And then she's in the back seat, even though she's been shot and fell out a window. Then they crash the car and she falls in the river, and then her body is never found. Ooh.
Now, I read something that indicates it then cuts to a totally different group of students telling the story.
Yeah.
But when they're telling the story, they talk about 8 students being killed rather than 6, which would suggest that she killed Jared Leto and Alicia Bitt.
Huh.
But when and how and when, why?
Yeah, I don't know.
And for...
I mean, they don't come back in any of the sequels, so they're probably dead.
Maybe, but also confusing. Like, and what, did they go down into the river? Good, she's dead. Ah, oh, shit.
And there are a couple of, winky moments in this. Like, when Pacey turns on the car radio, then I Don't Want to Wait plays for a moment. He goes like, ugh. And then at the end, when this new person is telling the story to, like, this new group of students, and one of them's like, yeah, right, I bet the killer is the girl from the Noxzema commercial, which Rebecca Gayhart was. And, like, that was the moment where, like, 15, 16-year-old me was like, that is... a reference to that is a self-aware reference, and therefore I think this movie is better than it actually is.
Yep.
My critical skills were not great.
Well, bear in mind that this was a really eponymous writing style at the time.
Yeah,
it was like, like Family Guy came out, and Family Guy, as we all know, is just like, oh man, what if reference. Well, yeah. I bet it would look a little like this. So yeah, you're absolutely forgiven for being like, that's writing, I think.
They pointed out a thing.
I know that
thing. They broke the fourth wall. That's good writing.
Wow. People reacting the way they would never react, that's it.
Well, and then the big reveal is that Rebecca Gayhart is in this new group of people. And she's like, you didn't tell the story right. And she's like, listen up. This is how the story really goes. And I'm like, they just heard that whole story. How much different would yours be? Like, everyone would be like, yeah, we heard this part. Jake told this part of the story already. And she's like, right, but like it was only 6 people? And they're like, so what?
Can you imagine how bummed out you would be if you were at a party and someone finished an extremely long anecdote and someone went, oh yeah, well here's the way it really happened, and told it again.
And told it again.
Shut up, Angela. This is not enough new information. Oh my God. Oh, urban legend.
Urban legend. And then there was the sequel, sort of, Urban Legends, which had almost none of the same character. Like, pretty much all new cast. But then at the end, Rebecca Gayhart makes a cameo.
Oh, boy.
And whatever.
Oh, boy. What did you love and hate about Urban Legend?
Oh, I do love the game of horror telephone that this movie plays. It's like, it's just, like you said, find and replace. They're trying so hard to just copy the Scream playbook, and it's with mixed results.
Indeed.
I love Rebecca Gayhart's like very hammy performance when she's revealed to be evil. I think her hair looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love that she killed someone in real life. That's sad and bad. And I hate how absolutely convoluted her entire plan is for this whole movie. How? Why? Just kill them. Kill them and kill Alicia Vitt first, and then kill the other girl, because she's the one who was driving.
Yes. If nothing else, it feels like the entire movie is an extended riff on that old Bond joke about how the villains monologue too much. Right, it's like, you could have been done.
Yeah.
In 15 minutes.
There were two people that you had.
There are two people. And why would you go after a new group of students? You're done.
That's the thing. What is she doing at that new school?
You're finished. There's nothing else to do.
What did any of these kids do?
They haven't done anything wrong. Fucking crazy lady.
What did you love and hate?
I hate that Pacey is murdered and that he's also a very rude boy in this movie. Mm-hmm. I do not care for it. I love Tara Reid. I love Tara Reid. What a performance it is.
Listen up. Safe sex is there. And you could do it if you weren't stupid.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to radio. In this episode, I'll listen to your questions, and then maybe I'll hold penis. So many gaps. Put the whole thing. None of these are
And then, like, the voice is fading in and out as she walks around the room.
Well, that's what I think about tits.
Well, but she just goes really to the bathroom.
Yeah, leaves and goes to the bathroom and then
still talking. Back. Still talking.
And that's why A Cinderella Story starring Hilary Duff is my favorite rom-com of the year. Anyway, to answer your question, don't drink any more cum. Bye.
They're like, there's 37 minutes still in your time slot.
Just play Susudio. You like that song?
It's a nice shading on her character there.
I have levels and layers. Wonderful work.
What did you hate?
I hate Pacey.
Oh, right, yeah, Pacey. Yeah. And that's Urban Legend, everybody.
Oh, what a delightful time, everyone. We will get to what we are loving and hating in just a moment, but first we want to thank our sponsor, Nutrafol.
Yeah, there are 30 million women who are impacted by weakened or thinning hair. I certainly have that at, like, the front of my head because I do a lot of styling of my bangs. If you're among them, just know you're not alone, and there is a solution that you can trust to deliver results, and that's Nutrafol.
Indeed.
Thousands of women have taken back control of their hair with Nutrafol, with many users raving that the supplement not only transformed their hair, but restored their confidence too. I noticed after a few months of taking it that, like, those little thinning patches at the front were getting thicker, and also the broken hairs at the back of the nape of my neck were finally growing out, which was really nice.
Delightful. Yeah.
And they offer two targeted formulas for women that are clinically shown to improve hair growth and thickness with less shedding through all stages of life.
Indeed. Now, healthier hair growth does take time. You will begin to experience thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair in 3 to 6 months. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months, and more than 1,500 top doctors recommend Nutrafol as an effective and high-quality solution for healthier hair.
Mm-hmm. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support iHiBiLi by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code LOVE to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is their best offer anywhere and is only available to U.S. customers for a limited time, plus free shipping on every order. So to get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code LOVE. Thank you so much, Nutrafol, for your support.
Thank you. And we will still get to what we are loving and hating in just a moment. But let's talk about some ways you can support the show if you want to. We are on Twitter at Hate Love Podcast, and we're on Facebook at facebook.com/iHiBiLi. Please, if you are Gen Z, where do you get your urban legends these days?
Do you just call it creepypasta now?
Yeah, what's happening? What's happening out there? Please email us at hatelovepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep. Also, email us your favorite creepypastas. I like reading those things.
Oh, okay.
Email us, tweet them at us, just tell them what they are.
All right.
I like creepy stuff.
All right. You can please tell a friend. Please tell a friend. And please hop onto your podcast provider of choice, principally Apple Podcasts, but whatever you're using, give it us a one-time only rate, review, and subscribe. It is enormously important to us because it helps us move up in the charts. It helps more people find out about us, and it will take no time at all for you. So if you wouldn't mind doing it, it would really help us immensely. Mm-hmm. And if you would like to support us financially, we've got a Patreon.
Yeah, if you go to patreon.com/ihibylai, you're going to get a whole bunch of cool bonus stuff, depending, and like more stuff the more you give. When you give $2 a month, you get to listen to each week's episodes 2 days early on a Monday rather than a Wednesday. At a $3 a month level, we get to take part in our monthly Ask Me Anything sessions. And we also thank you on an episode. This week, we are thanking Jennifer Levesque, Siobhan Ropak, Henrik Lindberg, Carrie Lebarski, Shane Nelson, Tamara Hosh, and Aaron Thornton. Thornton, thank you very much. Thank all of you. At the $5 a month level, you get the previous stuff and you get to read our twice monthly newsletter where we talk about our loves and hates. You get some cool recommendations for what you should be watching, reading, listening to, consuming from us. And we don't talk about that stuff on the podcast. And then at the $10 a month level, you get to listen to our bonus podcast, Dispatches from Fuckville Island, where we talk about a movie or TV show we don't talk about on iHiBiLai proper. This month for Spooky Month, we're talking about Final Destination. And again, we have annual memberships. If you sign up for a whole year membership, you're going to get 1 month free. So pretty good deal.
Indeed.
Thank you to everyone who's donated to our Patreon. If it is not in your budget or you don't want to, that's cool. Thank you so much for listening. We're so grateful to all of you.
And we are so grateful. It's true.
And now onto what we're loving and hating this week. And Jocelyn is on the theme song.
Yeah, be on my mind. All the time. This is a joke just for me. Welcome to radio fm.sex.org.angelfire.org. Studio. Watch out, you might have sex. Everyone look up Sue Studio by Phil Collins. It's one of my favorite bad funny songs.
And done by Tara Reid would be just mwah, chef's kiss.
I've been waiting all my life. What are you loving or hating?
I am both loving and hating a horror novel called Horrid. It is a sort of, it's a haunted house story that is very creepy. It's very, like, the scary and spooky intention is very well built. My problem is that the ending is feels very sudden to me, and a lot of, like, when they do reveal what happens, I then was like, okay, now I want you to delve into what that means. And they're like, no, now the book is over. And I don't necessarily need everything to be tied up in a neat little package, but I did, it just felt like all of a sudden they were like, no, and now it's done. And you're like, oh, okay. It just, so very, very spooky, very scary, well done, but the end just felt like, oh, okay, we're here? Oh, okay, we're here. Okay. I just got comfortable.
Right.
Yeah, but so again, Horrid by Katrina Lino. It's still good, but the ending just felt, yeah, just happened very suddenly.
Mm.
Yeah. But it was a recommendation from the Books in the Freezer podcast and on TikTok. So if you like, again, I've mentioned them before. If you like horror recommendations, go check them out.
Mm, delightful.
How about you, Jocelyn?
Well, I flipped through the show Panic on Amazon Prime, which has just been canceled. but it's interesting because obviously Squid Game is hugely in the zeitgeist right now. Shows like it have been in the zeitgeist for a while. This is similar-ish-esque in that it's about 47 teens who are in kind of a dead-end town, and every year they participate in this competition called Panic, where they do all of these dangerous stunts in order to win $50,000, and then you get to know a bit more about the teens. I will say the writing is not fantastic. None of the performances are super compelling. Some of them are very good. Other ones are kind of lackluster. Like, I wish they had gotten a bit more into the socioeconomic factors that underpin making decisions like this. And I feel like what people like about Squid Game is that it does feel like a real reflection of people's anxieties about the world right now. Mm-hmm. Whereas this kind of wants to, like, sort of loosely touch on that and then be like, but aren't these teens sexy? So, I mean, it's all right. If you want to flip through something and have, like, a fun teen show day, then have at it. Mm. And that is our show. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Getty.
You can follow me on Twitter at Kat Angus and the show on Twitter at Hate Love Podcast. You can sign up for my newsletter about TV, movies, and the internet at katangus.substack.com. We'd like to thank Yusu Kim and songfinch.com for a very excellent theme song. Join us on Facebook, facebook.com/ihibylai. Our Patreon is at patreon.com/ihibylai. And please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're getting your podcast. Next week, to close out Spooky Scary Month, Jocelyn is going to erupt in a geyser of horniness because we are talking about Penny Dreadful.
Long ago, I said that if I ever watched this show, I would pass away for being too aroused. And
next week it'll happen. This will be the last episode of the podcast, everybody.
Welcome to the series finale of I High By Lie when my horny ghost zizzes out of my body for good. I can't wait.
Please join us next week. Woo-hoo-hoo. Thank you so much for listening.
Ooh, I'm already excited.
Jocelyn's fanning herself.
I'm thinking about how hot he looks.
Hi, bye, bye.
I Hate It But I Love It is edited by Andrew Ivamy and produced for the From Superheroes Network. Visit FromSuperheroes.com to hear more great podcasts like this, as well as YouTube series, webcomics, and so much more. Visit FromSuperheroes.com.